Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to A Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Okay. Welcome to A Fair Recovery Radio tonight. This is Rick, and I am certainly glad you have joined us. Actually, because it is Easter, I am not in the studio tonight. And so I'm on the telephone, and so this may be a little bit awkward. Ronnie's going to be trying to manage us, or manage me and our guest and me, however you want to say that, tonight. I wanted to explore something a little bit different. And this is one of our mentor couples, and they're a couple that's actually gone through quite a journey. I really want them to share their story this evening, and their story is different in the sense that sometimes the hurt spouse in a betrayal, sometimes it gets very, very crazy, and it's difficult to know what to do. And so tonight, Joe and Shaylee are going to share their story. And Shaylee, are you on the line with me?
I am.
Hello, Miss Shaylee.
Hello.
I wanted you, if you don't mind, to give us maybe just a lead-in to who you and Joe are, how long you've been together. I'm not so much interested in your geographic location or anything like that, or your last names. Of course, we want to maintain your anonymity. And for those of you who might want to call in this evening, because Shaylee and I are both on the line, we do not have a line available to call in on. So you won't be able to call into this particular program. So, Shaylee, could you give us maybe a little background about you and Joe and how long you've been together and how many kids and some things like that?
Okay. Let's see. Joe and I met when I was 17. He was 18, just about 19, and typical meeting and fall in love and married 3 years after that. And I got saved, found the Lord, and he had been raised a Christian his whole life, but was backslidden at the time of our relationship. We both kind of came back because it was such a lifestyle change for me that when I came to found the Lord, I completely did a U-turn and changed my whole life. I don't think that he was ready for that at that point. But
so were you all married when you came to faith?
No, actually. We were living in sin. We were shacking up, so to speak, and I had went to church and accepted the Lord and basically knew that I was in sin at that point, got convicted and said, hey, we need to do something about this. He proposed, moved out, and short engagement, couple months, and then we were married.
Good. So you had a short engagement, you got married, and were you or he, what were y'all doing for a living? I mean, were you coming from really strong families? Were you coming from weak families? What was your background, Shaylee?
Oh, man, I came from a really rough childhood. My dad died when I was two. My mom kind of fell apart at that point. She had the three of us kids, and then it was one relationship after another, had two more kids, and the final one was with a man that was abusive in every way possible with her and then also us kids. Messed with me quite a bit, and she went back and forth with him. When she was fighting with him, she wanted me to say that it had happened, but when she was not fighting with him, she wanted me to say that it didn't. So that went on for, 10 years, until she finally was done, and then he was gone from about 14 on, and I was really bitter and hurt by that. So when I met Joe at 17, did not want anything to do with my mother. I couldn't wait till I turned 18. He was kind of my knight in shining armor, rescued me, so to speak, and my way out. He, on the other hand, I'll let him tell his part of his childhood. Hold on a second.
As far as I grew up in the church, but Christ wasn't in the home. It was a Sunday Christian type of deal. Now I know it's all about a relationship instead of just being a Christian. It's trying to be Christ-like, and that wasn't instilled in the home. And so their foundation wasn't really set. It was all head knowledge.
So for you, Joe, it wasn't something that was real. It was head knowledge. Were you in love with Shaylee?
Yeah, right before I met Shaylee, I was in the mentality of, I knew what I was looking for in a girl, and I wasn't going to make any serious relationships until I found it, and I found her, and just within like a week or two, first thing I asked her is, what do you believe? And I knew, she told me she was raised Mormon, but she believed the same thing I did and didn't believe all the extra, so I was like, all right, cool, and I partied at the time, and she partied, so we just had a lot in common, and we hit it off. We were together every day since, and never got sick of each other. So you
never even got sick of each other, huh?
Right. I mean, we're best friends.
Good.
I was controlling, though.
You were controlling?
Back. Yeah, she always told me. I was just jealous. I was really jealous is probably a better way, just because I wanted her all to myself. I wanted to be with her when I wasn't working. You know, she was with her friends or stuff. I was like, no. And especially other guy friends. So.
Okay. So, Joe, how long were you all married before you began to have children?
We were married before we had children. 1 year.
Well,
about
1 year?
We got married in 99, and we had Sage in 2.
I got pregnant in November.
Married in March. She got pregnant in November.
Okay.
So, and it was a mutual agreement. It was more on her side to start earlier because we were going to college at the time and we were thinking about doing this and doing that. But we were like, well, do we want to be old parents, you know, or young parents? So we started, and I'm glad we did. Then we had Haven, our second boy, 2 years after in 02. And that they were both planned.
Good. So, how many kids do you have now?
Two.
You have two kids?
Seven and five, both boys.
Seven and five, both boys.
Right.
Okay. And how would you describe the first part of your marriage?
The first part of my marriage, how would I describe it? We worked together and lived together. Well, of course we lived together, but we worked together in a family business, and he came with us to work, so it was really a tight-knit family. I mean, we got along great, besides the fact that every year I would be in, I would lie to her, and she would catch me in a lie. But the first part, there was a lot of trials as far as, I remember some things, like as far as her having anxiety attacks, like when we go camping, and we were in counseling for some things and decided that God could cure her instead of drugs, and that did work for her anxiety as far as certain things. I consider our marriage really, we had a good marriage, although I wasn't the husband that God has called me to be by any means. We did dabble back and forth. We weren't the Christian we weren't Christ-like at all. We did go to church and play the Christian card, but we still went to concerts and, well, the first part of my marriage. But, yeah, it's kind of hard to think back. You know, I haven't thought back that far, so Shaylee is a better describer as the first part of the marriage, but, I mean, and we got along great, and we hung for as much time as we spent together, I mean, because we were together 24/7 practically, that we got along really great.
Good. So where did things begin to go wrong? And you might let Shaylee take over at this point.
Okay. Where did things go wrong?
Okay, hello?
Hey, Shaylee. So I'm just asking him, so you heard what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you see the relationship beginning to go south a little bit?
He's probably not going to like my answer. I had red flags early on with Joe. Things I ignored, things I pretended weren't there. We had issues with pornography before we were even married, and I was told by his parents, primarily his dad, that all men do it. It's not a big deal. You're overreacting. Let it go. And you have to keep in mind that I didn't have a family dynamic growing up. I didn't have the mom and the dad. I didn't have what Joe's family looked normal to me. And so they were kind of my my mentor, so to speak. And so what they said, I listened to. And but I always had a check in my spirit. Like he said, I always caught him in something, whether it be once a year. Usually it was once a year, something really major. But I always would, constantly questioning him. I mean, he's right. We got along really well. I was your typical stay-at-home mom that would work when I wanted, because it was a family business and we spent a lot of time together, but he was very controlling. Joe was happy when I wasn't around my family and when he was my only friend. Things kind of went sour when we got out of that little box, so to speak. We moved back to where I was originally from, away from his parents, back to my home ground, and my family started calling me on some stuff that they had saw in Joe and the way our relationship was working, and basically had said, you know, he's controlling you, he's got issues, he's, you know, doing this and doing that and saying and being inappropriate with people. And my brother had, he had gotten a job with my brother, and this is the beginning of kind of the last 4 or 5 years when we first moved back, which was 5 years ago. He'd gotten a job with my brother. I was working with my brother for a month or two. My brother called me in a panic. Joe's having an affair. Joe's having an affair. Going to lunch with this girl, blah, blah, blah. Well, I confronted Joe on it. He denied it, of course. Nothing's happened. She's just a friend. We were just talking. And Shaylee, you know, submissive little Shaylee, who didn't want her happy little home to be broken up, just let it go. And I had no evidence. I had no reason to question him. I guess I did, but I didn't want to, you know. But at that point is when I started noticing me pulling away from the marriage. I knew that I was a Christian. I knew that I couldn't just leave him for no reason. I knew I had two kids with this man. But that's primarily when I started pulling away from Joe. We moved away from my family because we were beginning to see the damage that was being done. Our relationship was going sour really quickly, and we said, let's get out. So we moved about 4 or 5 hours away and started our own little life, which is where we're at now. May of last year, or January of last year, my sister-in-law calls me and said she's having problems with my brother. Can I come stay in your home with you? You can watch my kids while I work. I can get a timeout, just time to refocus. Maybe your brother will see what he's, you know, he's losing, and it'll wake him up. And my family, none of my family knows the Lord, so I kind of considered it was going to be a great ministry opportunity. show them what a Christ-like family looks like, and really witness to this girl and help her out. She moved down. Things were going really well. Had some red flags here and there. She's a big drinker. I'm not. I didn't know my husband was. But I noticed there was alcohol coming in the house a lot more, and Joe was drinking a lot more, and I was asking him, what are you doing? And he's, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not as much as you think. I let it go, and I was going to my Bible studies, and I was teaching Sunday school, and I was, you know, doing my ministry with her kids. And May last year, I go to an overnight women's retreat. And was having some problems with my mom and really trying to let go of some bitterness and stuff that I was having with my mom and work on forgiveness with her. And so it was a really powerful conference. And I come back and I walked in my house, and Joe had spent the weekend with my sister-in-law. I walked in my house and immediately something was off. And I looked at him and I said, what happened in my home while I was gone? And he starts his real smooth manipulation. I can say that now, but he's real good. And, oh, nothing. You've just been with the Lord. We did a little bit of drinking, but nothing happened. And immediately takes me away from the house, and I cry for the next 45 minutes, and I don't know why. And he's telling me it's because God really moved in my heart, and that he's doing things with me and my mom, and that I just need to relax and chill out. And so I did, and I let it go. And Joe's cousin came to stay with us a couple days after that, and my sister-in-law got real chummy with him, and I called her and said, or called her on some stuff and said, hey, this is a Christian home. You're married. He's underage. You guys need to quit. A week later, my brother comes down, catches her in an affair with Joe's cousin, and everybody leaves. I'm distraught at this point, and Joe's, you know, kind of playing the, oh, I can't believe Eric and Jen did that. Wow, this is crazy, and I'm just distraught about the whole thing because Joe's cousin's just, you know, and my sister-in-law has just destroyed my brother, and I'm trying to help my brother and at the same time feeling betrayed myself because me and my sister-in-law were like best friends. A week later, I get a call that they're in counseling, and Jen has admitted to sleeping with Joe. Big, big shock. I knew my husband was a liar at this point. I've always known that. And I knew that she was a liar. And so I said, I'm not going to believe either one of you. Of course, Joe denies it. She's trying to tear our family apart because her family's broken up, blah, blah, blah. And that was Wednesday. I said, I don't want to talk to anybody. I shut my phone off, and I said, I don't want to talk to you, Joe. I'm going to seek the Lord about this. So I spent the next 2 days in some serious prayer, serious face down on my knees because my spirit knew. But Friday morning, I spent some time with the Lord, and the Lord basically had revealed that it had happened. I had said, you know, Lord, what do I do? And he said, you know, I've got some work to do in Joe, and you've been in my way for all these years, so step aside, so to speak, but you are not to divorce this man. I was not happy about that, but I obliged, and Joe denied it for the next 2 weeks, finally admitted to it, and we went to, that was end of June. End of July, we go to EMS in Texas.
Amazing. So that was the first time I met you.
Right. And I was still, we were doing some counseling here with our pastor and his wife, and I kept saying that I know there's more, but he was saying, no, there's not, and everybody here is telling me, no, there's not. You're just, now you're not trusting of him. Let him, you know, he's repentive, and you need to trust that. And so I did, and I said, okay, you know, we'll go and do this EMS, and that's when we met you. Spent the weekend there. Amazing weekend. very powerful. I was on fire for a new marriage, for a new beginning. But I remember the last day I looked at Leslie and then our mentor couple, woman Cheryl, and I looked at both of them and I says, I have one problem. And they says, what? And I says, what do you do when your spirit's telling you there's more and that you know your husband's not getting honest? How do you deal with that? And they said, you trust the spirit and you trust what God is going to do. And so I left and basically and pleaded with Joe, is there any more? And I bore my heart with this man, and I shared things on the airplane ride home that I haven't shared with anybody. Things that happened to me as 5-6-year-old child thinking, okay, if there's anything that I haven't, you know, spoken, or if there's any kind of, you know, sexual thing that Satan could possibly use, I'm getting it out. And I bore my soul to this man, and I thought he was doing the same. And we come back, and things were just chaos. And I couldn't figure out why, and we were doing counseling, and I was praying, and I just couldn't get over the fact that I knew there was more, and he had this darkness over him that I could see, and he's fighting, and he's angry, and our home was just ugly, and I could just feel yucky stuff, and I don't know how to explain it, but it wasn't good. But we were still hanging in there. And got my whole family telling me, come home, and well, you're crazy, and this man's a sicko, and blah, 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 whatever. End of October, I was done. I couldn't do it anymore. And I said to him, we were at a counseling session with our pastor, and I said, you know what, I know he's holding more back. They, at this point, kind of had the same discernment and said, Joe, we know there's more, and we've given you time. I said, so we're going to separate. I can't do this anymore. I need to get away from you. I need some peace for a bit. That night, he looked at me, and I said, well, what are you going to do? You know, I'm asking you to move out. What are you going to do, Joe? He says, well, I guess I have to get honest with you. About killed me. We were driving home at that point. I had played a couple softball games, and I had to have him pull over, and I threw up because I said, what do you mean you have to get honest? What have we been doing since July? What did we spend? How much money to go to EMS? What have we been doing? And he says, I'm not telling you anything tonight. So needless to say, I didn't sleep that whole night. I was sick. The next morning he comes to me and spills his guts over the last 12 years we've been together, which was, I guess he would probably be better to talk about the things that he had been doing. So I'll put him on right now.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, I'm here.
To backtrack a little bit as far as when I first came out, admitted after lying to her for 2 weeks and came out, admitted, you know, the affair did happen with her sister-in-law. I was living in our casita, which is separate from the house, private entry casita, until we went to EMS, and I just really started, you know, diving into God's Word and seeking Him. And then we went to EMS, and I screwed up there because I didn't get completely honest, didn't listen to the wise counseling that was spoken, and came home, and I continued to, she allowed me back into the house when we came home from Texas, and continued to do my morning devotions and seek God. And I didn't have a peace, and I was meeting with my pastor once a week, and I was just angry and didn't have a peace, and I'm like, what am I doing? What more can I do? You know, I was praying, listening just to, you know, worship music and positive music all day, and I was just pleading, you know, and looking for questions, and nobody knew. Nobody could give me. They're like, you're just doing what you need to do. Keep doing it. And didn't have peace, and that 3 months later when she's like, you know, need to just get it all out, we're done. You know, we came home from that softball meeting. I slept in the other room that night. And I just cried out to God, what do I do? And the first time in my life, I heard God speak to me clearly. He said, tell her everything and trust me. And that morning, I did. and I was out for good as far as we were separated. And I moved down the street with my parents and just... Right.
So at that point, she moved you out.
Huh?
She moved you out.
Right. I was out for 2 weeks because there was a weird situation that happened with a guy down the street that she told she was living alone, so that made me uncomfortable. So I moved back in for a week, and then that wasn't working. So I moved actually 15 minutes away and lived with a friend. And that's when she threw me out for good. It was the end of November. And as far as what I confessed to her was just multiple affairs over the past 4 years, and pornography, geez, before we were even together, before we even met, off and on. And it was just a sexual bondage that I was in, and I really think now that that was gateway to my affairs, because all that garbage I was constantly viewing, all that fantasy, fake stuff, I thought that, you know, it could happen, and I just wasn't satisfied for some reason. My, you know, the heart and flesh of man is never satisfied, and I wasn't seeking God. I would go to church every week, but that's all it was. It was just an act of, it was just the motions, going through the motions. So I didn't have any help from anywhere. I didn't want any help, you know, from God. And it allowed me to, you know, that I did some sick things that I really regret and don't even like speaking and thinking, because I have a beautiful wife at home that satisfies me enough, but it wasn't enough.
So, Joe, why do you think you didn't tell her, like at the EMS or some things like that? What caused
stupid.
You to hold back?
Just stupid, really. I mean, but that was me. That was the old me. I am learning and being completely honest with her now, saying, you know, I just barely confessed something a couple days ago. I didn't want to tell her I did. But it's better to tell her instead of having that, how do you put it, the spirit of the, you know, bringing that evil, yeah, the evil spirit of just deception and not being honest. But why I didn't confess everything, I convinced myself that it was everything to do with that affair. I was completely honest with her about that affair. You know, so it was just, that's me, you know, just only letting out what little I thought I needed to, instead of opening the whole can, just, you know, open a little corner. And now I just, you know, I long for a relationship that we have never had, and I am trying to be a God's man and, you know, be the leader of this house and direct her. You know, I failed her in more ways than just my unfaithfulness. I failed her in not being the man that God has called me to be and directing her, and she was the man of the house, so.
Okay, so can you trade back to Shaylee now?
Yes.
Hi.
Hey, madam. You want to add anything to what Joe just said?
Not really. He basically summed it up as far as, you know, Joe still to this day struggles with honesty. And that's fine. I think that God has got me where he needs me to be because of where I went, and I guess I'll get there now. November, after the incident of the stalker that lived down the street from me that got kind of scary, and me just being naive, Joe moved back in.
there was still some stuff he was lying about, and I found out about it, and that was kind of my beginning of Shaylee taking the reins. Early on, God had told me that he was going to do amazing things in our marriage, that I needed to trust him, and that he was going to give us a new marriage. He had given me the verse in Ezekiel 36:36, where it talks about rebuilding and replanting what's desolate, and it says three times in there, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I, the Lord, will do it, and now I know why he kept saying I in it. He said it three times because I have such a tendency to do everything, and super control freak, and really kind of want things my way. If I would have stood on that verse and really believed it, then I wouldn't have went the route I did, but God showed me my own heart and ultimately what I really believed. End of November, I threw Joe out. Final, I was done. I was kind of had one foot in the world and one foot in the spirit, but had basically had started, Satan had gotten a lie in there of God had told me that because Joe hadn't gotten 100% honest with me in the beginning, that he had kind of broken the covenant, so to speak, that the Lord had made with me of, I want you to stay in this marriage, but if Joe follows his own path, then you're free to divorce. I'm very careful at this point on from saying what the Lord says and what he doesn't say, because I was so easily deceived. Joe left the end of November. We were still doing counseling. I was still trying to do what God wanted me to do, which was reconcile with my husband, but in the back of my mind, knew I didn't want to. It was really the beginning of my flesh and spirit war and my wrestle with God. I was really angry with the Lord. I didn't want to be in this marriage. I didn't want to have to deal with a man that is a sex addict. I didn't want to have to deal with the mind battles forever. Not only do I have to deal with women, you know, around me in movies and at the grocery store and whatnot, but this is in my family now. I have my family that's involved because of my sister-in-law. My brother and my sister-in-law are still together, and it's all been thrown on Joe. She's got no accountability. It's all Joe's fault because Joe's the sicko. And granted, none of my family's saved, so they just think I'm a complete nut. And so I'm hearing all this stuff from them, and then I'm hearing all this stuff from Satan. And before you know it, it weighed on me because I wasn't really standing on God's truth. I really started giving into the lies. And middle of December, it comes that Joe's low on work. He's a contractor, and the economy is really hurting right now, and work where we're at right now is really slow, and so he gets an opportunity to go out of state and work, and everybody's saying, you know what, you and Shaylee need some distance, and, you know, I had been controlled by Joe since I was 17, so I'm thinking, wow, I get to spread my wings a little bit, and played good for a long time, did everything right. I was not a sinner. Man, I thought I was just the amazing Christian, superhero Christian, and, you know, I had an awesome relationship with God, but it was so me, and I had people always telling me, man, for being so young, you're so in tune with the Lord, and he just works through you, and they were just feeding my pride, and they were just feeding my how great I was. And so Joe leaves January 1st, and I begin my journey into the world, but kind of playing God at the same time, if that makes sense. I love the Lord with all my heart, don't get me wrong. He's everything to me, but I was really angry with the Lord. And I didn't even want to really admit that because I was afraid to, because I know that he's the creator. And so there was some major mind stuff going on, and so in one breath it was, yeah, I'm angry at you, God, because I know you want me back with this man, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And maybe you did say I could divorce you, because it does say that you, that I can in your word, and I'm just going to ignore the fact that you did tell me that you didn't want me to because he didn't get honest. And so there was a whole lot of my own manipulation going on with God, the Creator. Here I was, this created being that was manipulating the Creator. Isn't that unbelievably
sick? Well, thought you were manipulating, at least bargaining.
Right. There you go. I was bargaining with him. And, you know, God needed, I kept telling people that I'm not just going to say I forgive Joe because it's what I'm supposed to do. Like, I want to feel it. I want to really mean it. So, no, I don't forgive Joe. And God's going to do it in me. God's going to do it in me. And I'm not just going to say it because everybody wants me to. And so ultimately, the Lord brought me to a position where he showed me what forgiveness was. And the way he did it was he let me go. Not completely, but just enough to where he said, okay, you think grass is greener over there? You go ahead, my sweet daughter, but I'll be right here. And he was. What had happened is I started just talking to some old friends, these old guy friends that Joe had mentioned earlier, and all of them kind of knew what was going on in our marriage, and these are all guys that had always wanted to be with Shaylee, not to toot my own horn, but and they see an opportunity now, and they see somebody that feels completely unattractive, that feels completely rejected, and they all jumped on it, and I loved it. And I had no intention of anything happening. It was very innocent. It wasn't, you know, I've had it, you know, Joe has said to me it was revenge. You know, people have said it was revenge. It didn't have anything to do with that. I was over that point. I was over Joe. This had nothing to do with Joe. This was about me. And so I had my first affair 2 weeks after he went to Texas. And I didn't seek out to do it. It wasn't something that was planned. It happened because I was deceived, and I listened to one lie. And one lie led to two lies, and two lies three, and so on and so on. And before I know it, I was caught in a web of deception, and I had no idea. And here was an amazing Christian, an amazing woman of God, a person that led Bible studies, a person that had people commenting constantly on my walk with him. And it has brought me, anyways, I'll go on. I had my first affair. And the morning after it had happened, man, we're sick. And now I understand so much more about Joe because of the things I was telling myself. I knew after it had happened that it was wrong, that it was sin. But even after the first one, I had had to confess it to a friend because I was so horrified, and I knew that it was wrong, but I was still kind of playing half world, half spirit at this time, and I said, I'll tell you what, I've forgiven Joe a little bit more because knowing that I didn't set out to sleep with that person, that it was innocent conversation, it was innocent, hey, let's hang out and see where we've been the last 10 years, and before I know it, we're having sex, I could see when he would tell me, I don't know how it happened, I didn't mean to, and I would look at him and say, what? Anyways, that was done. And then I had another one 2 weeks later. Joe was still calling me from Texas and wanting me back and begging for me back, begging, begging, begging. And at this point, I had felt like scum. I had felt like a piece of trash, but I was kind of liking it. I know it's really sick. And even to say it makes me sick. But this just goes to tell you how quickly we're deceived and how powerful our flesh is. And I confessed to him. I said, you know, Joe, we were on the phone. I said, how do you even know you want me back? He goes, I know I want you back. I know I want this marriage back. This is what God wants. I said, I had an affair. And he went berserk. Berserk. And I moved back up to where my family's at, 4 hours from here. And I started drinking more and more and more and my family's taken me out to the bars. I'd never been to the bars. And my brother's getting off on the fact that his sister is so cute, he said, and that he's getting free drinks. And here I am, and the spirit still lives inside me, and it's speaking to me, and it's saying, this is sick, and you know it, and this is wrong, and what are you doing, and you need help, and I can't quit. Every night when I was laying in bed alone, I'm talking to God, and I'm saying, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, what am I doing, what am I doing? And then I'd get up, and I'd do the same thing. So I had my second affair. This second affair was not just about sex. This is really difficult for Joe to hear because I really had feelings for this guy, and he had feelings for me. And it's so stupid because I've known him for 6 weeks, and suddenly we're in this little romance, and it's really disgusting because I'm married and I'm a Christian, and the thing that's ironic is, do you know what attracted me to this man? Because this man said, yeah, I like porn. Yeah, I say the F word, and I have potty mouth, and yeah, I drink. And the thing that I liked about this guy is because he was real and he was honest, and my husband wasn't. And I'm a Christian, and this is what I liked about this man. Anyways, this relationship carried on. Joe was due to come home end of February, and I was trying to get a divorce at this point. This is just recent. You hear me say end of February, and it's only March. Anyways, Joe, I was trying to get a divorce at this point. Because of where I live in a really small town. You have to go so far to get it, and God just wasn't allowing it. And I was just convinced just because it's just the way the world is, and now I look back, and God prevented it from happening. Joe came back and called me and said, hey, I want to see my kids, bring them down. I was scared because, number one, Joe was saying things to me that he had never said, and I knew that he was changing. And I knew that God was calling me home. But I also knew coming home meant that I was going to have to confess stuff and that I was going to have to give up the world.
So we've got about 10 minutes, Jaylee, so don't go too slow here because this is really, you're getting to the good part. How'd you hit bottom?
I hit bottom when I came home and I walked in the door and I saw Joe. And I knew immediately when I saw him that there was something different about him. I cried out to God that next day and said, I'm in trouble. I need help, and I don't know how to get out. God told me that I wasn't done. I met with my pastor and Joe, confessed the two affairs. My pastor looked at me and said, you're not done. Joe turned around and said, you got one more to catch up with me. And I was angry, because I was done, and I was going to be done. Here's Shaylee taking the lead again. The next night, I decided I was going to go hiking with a friend. Told my friend, I'm not drinking tonight. I'm getting right. I'm getting things right. You know, I've messed up. I'm getting things right. I didn't want to be with Joe at this point, but I was going to get right. That night, ended up drinking. Ended up in a hotel room with me and a friend and a guy. And no intention. And probably the most horrific night of my entire life next to being messed with as a kid. Because I didn't want it to happen. But I was so intoxicated that it did. And I got up the next morning and I was disgusted with myself. And it was the first point in this whole 9 months of journey that I looked at my husband and said, who am I to judge him? Who am I to judge his heart when my heart is just as wicked? And I was playing God. I was doing it. Not Jesus. I was doing it. And God showed me my heart because I couldn't imagine how this man could do what he had done to me over these 12 years. And that's when I hit bottom. And I had realized what I'd put this man through. I'd realized how I had never in the 10 years of walking with the Lord knew what grace was, that I'd been under the law the entire time. But when Jesus Christ poured his grace out on me because of what I had done, and this is being a woman of the Lord, this is being a Christian, this is the Spirit dwelling within me, that I was able to have 3 affairs in a 6-week period, one of which being with a man I didn't even know, didn't even want to do it. And it happened. And I walked in the door after that experience, and I'm on my knees, and I'm begging my husband to take me back because of what I had done. And I'll tell you what, that is how God showed me my heart and allowed me to pour the grace onto my husband that he had poured onto me. And I had no idea, no clue what grace was. And that was only 3 weeks ago. And things haven't been perfect. We both have our battles. We have a long journey ahead of us. But we both know what grace is. And that is what's going to save our marriage. Jesus Christ, not Shaylee playing super Christian. Not Joe deciding what is going to be told and what's not. It's Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's it.
So, Shaylee, over the past few weeks, I know things aren't perfect, and we would never say things would be. What's been different?
The difference is when I feel myself looking at him, how could you... when I hear the lies of the butcher coming in, I know danger, danger, danger. Because I know where those lies will take me. Even if I play with them for a minute, even if I want to feel justified for a second, and I turn it around, and I stand on God's truth. Either I believe the word of God or I don't. Either I believe the power of God and the power that the Bible stories that we're teaching our small kids about how he heals the blind and how he heals the lepers, or I don't. And if Jesus Christ has the power to heal those people, he has the power to heal my husband. He has the power to heal me. He has the power to heal my marriage. And I have to stand on his truth, and that's it. Period. Period. And I can't fix Joe. And Joe can't fix me. And so when I find myself wanting to fix, you know, because I'm still dealing with this sex addict here. I'm not a sex addict. I just believe the lies of Satan got caught up in the flesh. But I'm still dealing with the sex addict. And I still want to fix him. I still want to tell him how he needs to have it done. But that's me. I have to trust the God that lives inside Joe to not only work in him, but also to protect me.
So what's one of the ways, Shaylee, that you feel like God's confirmed to you that you need to be with Joe? You were telling me something last week about him being changed and a friend pointing something out to you about that, I believe.
Right. When this whole thing started, I had told my closest friend and nobody else, because I knew that Joe was a con artist and I didn't want him to find out. But I had said, I would know that God wanted me to stay in this marriage and that God had done something inside of him when Joe asked me to renew our vows. Because that's not something Joe would do. It's not something Joe would come up with. And the weekend that I came home, when he got back from Texas, I had walked in the door. He was doing his time with the Lord and sitting there with a Bible, which, again, is not something Joe does. And I sat down, and he looked up at me, and the Spirit said to me, he's changed, and you know it. Because he looked at me in a way he never had before, and he says, renew our vows with me. Renew our vows with me. Marry me again. I promise you, it'll be different. I'm walking with God now. I'm doing it God's way. and he had said it. And my friend reminded me of it. And that's how I knew. I think we all know when God speaks, and either we choose to believe it or we don't, because I still wrestled with it, and I still do today. Today. And that's what goes back to either you're going to believe the Word of God and the power of God, or you're not. And that's really where the battle is.
Right, and you know,
it's got nothing to do with Joe. It's got nothing
right.
to do with me.
And Shaylee, one of the things that I'm hoping to do is I'm putting on the calendar for us to get back together in about 6 months and then in a year to just see where God's taking the two of you guys, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it's been an amazing journey for you two.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, I know people listening tonight may be going, there is no way, you know, that this is going to hold true in this. But, guys, y'all listen week after week to couples who are much farther down the line than Joe and Shaylee. And so I thought it would be interesting to take someone who's much closer to kind of a change so that you can listen to them along the path. So we'll keep checking in with this couple, and you can find out how things play out for them over time. You know, Shaylee, I'm so glad you're back. You're such a sweet soul. It just broke my heart when you were just hurting yourself there for a while. And for any woman who's considering, Shaylee, going out and getting involved in maybe their own kind of, you know, they're listening to guys talk to them and that sounds really good to them. Do you have any word for them at this point after having just gone through that?
Danger, danger, danger. you know, I had so many people warning me and telling me not to do this and not to do that and be careful of this and be careful of that. And God warned me with lack of time. I won't get into the story maybe another time. But bottom line is God's going to take each of us on our own journey. And he warned me for months before this happened, and I didn't listen. So if you have a relationship with God and he has spoken something in his word, whether you like it or not, you have to choose to follow it, whether you feel it or not. Us women being emotional creatures, it's much easier to go with our emotions and how we're feeling. And right now I don't feel like being with Joe, but I know that it's what God wants me to do. And to save yourself a lot of time, a lot of grief, a lot of pain, and not to mention I have two kids that have been drugged through the 9 months of this as well, recognize the voice of the Spirit and the voice of the butcher, and you follow the Spirit, whether you feel it or not, and do not compromise, because the many say it's no big deal, oh, I can talk to this old friend, they're giving me comfort, they're flattering me, they're making me feel pretty after all this rejection, you're playing with fire and you will get burned.
Absolutely. Well, Shaylee and Joe, I want to thank both you guys for joining us tonight. And I just will continue to pray about your journey, and I look forward to getting you back on the program in just a few months, okay?
Thank you, Rick. It was nice talking with you.
It's great talking to you, Shaylee.
Alrighty.
And
we'll be
good
in touch,
night.
My friend.
For those of you listening in tonight, thank you for joining Affair Recovery Radio. I hope you'll join us next week as we keep talking about the ways that God leads us and can kind of get us through affairs. So I hope you guys have a really good week. You can find out more about Affair Recovery at affairrecovery.com. That's affairrecovery.com. Or you can also call us at area code 512-346-9299. I hope you guys have a good week.
Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services. Affair Recovery Radio, radio to the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable if you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal. We are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?